at the end of the podcast, but I thought I would play it at the beginning this time. It's a song I love called Hard Sun by Indio. Of course, an old 80s throwback, right? Hey, it's good to have you here on the Your Rancher Radio Podcast. I'm Jim Watkins. Thank you so much for joining me. And this time up, we're going to explore the experience of religion or the religious experience. Either way, we're going to. I think it's going to be a good time. You know, there's a couple of exciting things coming up. First of all, it's the week of Michael's birthday. Jesus was born on August 21st, 7 BC, and I believe today is August 18th, so we're 3 days out from his celebration of his birthday. And I know that people all around the world who read the Urantia book celebrate Michael's birthday, the seventh bestowal, the birth of the Son of Man and the Son of God. And I wrote a nice little article on urantiaradio.net if you want to check it out. But also, I'm always curious, and maybe you are too, as to what kind of celebrations might be going on elsewhere. Does the whole universe celebrate this day? It's a momentous day. Or is it just a day that's personal to us? And obviously, it's personal to Jesus or Christ Michael. But it is his birthday. And it'll have been, what, 2,026 years since his birth. So, you know, it's good, and I hope that you spend that day, I'm sure you will, reflecting on some of the Master's teachings. And that's kind of what I want to get to on this particular episode, because, you know, and it's kind of a funny story. I don't share it often, but I will. You know, my son told me, this was years ago, I dropped him off. He was going to a church in the neighborhood, and he had a girlfriend at the time, and he was, I guess they went to a particular church in our neighborhood, which was nice. And if you know my son, you would understand his sort of humor that he probably gets from his dad. Anyway, he said to me when I picked him up, he says, you know, I don't like church because it's just too religious. And I instantly understood what he meant because, you know, religion tends to be heavy. It's a thing unto itself. Where the religion becomes the object of focus instead of what religion is supposed to be, what it's supposed to inspire you to do. And of course, I'm referring to paper 101 of the Urantia book on the real nature of religious experience, which explains that religious living is nothing more or less than living in the continual presence of deity, of God. Every act becomes important because your energies are premised on the pursuit of truth, beauty, and goodness, to do the right thing and be the right person for the task, you know, to be loyal, to be patient and tolerant. Those are the spiritual qualities that have nothing to do with the outward signs of being religious, but, you know, merely living to your fullest potential, which is what religion is. Religion is living to your full potential. And being as good as you can be at that moment that you have. And in the experiences of life, we are constantly challenged on that at any given moment. Now, you know, we know no one is perfect and no one is ever expected to be religiously pure. That's not even the point. There is no race and there's nothing that says that we have to, you know, see who can be the best at being religious, right? It's only reflected in our kindness for other people, in our service to other people, and being honest and helpful. That's really the earmark of religious living, I think. And we'll get to some of the great quotes that I'll share with you. You know, a man who shows mercy, I've learned, is more religious than a person who shows contempt. Now, I will say, in the defense of church, it's great for fellowship. No question, sharing the Spirit with your fellows in group worship is probably one of the most highly satisfying human experiences for those who enjoy it. but it is not a prerequisite for spiritual living. It's only an expression of spiritual living. Better for man to have God without a church than a church in the place of God is one quote that I remember reading somewhere. My favorite quote is from Christ himself, who said, "To a man who has God in his heart, all earthly endeavors are spiritual." And I believe that's true. You know, I knew an atheist who spent his entire life showing people how to feed themselves. You know, this person grew up being hostile to religion because he saw the hypocrisy of those supposed religious people. Sadly, he never met Christ. He only met people who said they believed in Jesus without doing anything Jesus actually asked him to do. You know, things like being moral and being honest and serving your fellow man. You know, but despite this, this atheist unwittingly served a godly purpose. And he didn't need religion to motivate him. He just felt it was the right thing to do, to help people. Which reminds me of the saying, "By their fruits shall you know them." You know, one of the appeals of the Urantia book is that it asks nothing of the reader except to pause and consider the more expansive reality of God's creation, of why he chose to do it, and our role in his creative process. You know, he's given all of himself to creation, and he asks us to return the favor in our daily living, to put some skin in the game, right? This is true religion, not some book, not the marble statues or the sacred passages from Psalms. Those are our expression of the love we have for God. So I wanted to share with you just a couple of quick passages from Paper 101. And they're actually just so, in their simplicity, the truth comes out. Religion is not derived from the logic of human philosophy, but as a mortal experience, it is altogether logical. Religion is the experiencing of divinity in the consciousness of a moral being of evolutionary origin. It represents true experience with eternal realities in time, the realization of spiritual satisfactions while yet in the flesh. That comes from Paper 101, Paragraph 1, Section 1. The divine spirit makes contact with mortal man, not by feelings or emotions, but in the realm of the highest and most spiritualized thinking. It is your thoughts, not your feelings, that lead you Godward. That's a great quote. From the next section, 4, from 101. Religion lives and prospers then not by sight and feeling, but rather by faith and insight. It consists not in the discovery of new facts or in the findings of a unique experience, but rather in the discovery of new and spiritual meanings and facts already well known. It is a profoundly deep and actual experience of spiritual communion with the Spirit, which influences and is resident within the human mind. And thus it may be seen that religious longings and spiritual urges are not such of a nature that would merely lead man to want to believe in God, but rather are they of such nature and power that people are profoundly impressed with a conviction that they ought to believe in God. The sense of evolutionary duty and the obligations consequent upon the illumination of revelation make such a profound impression upon man's moral nature that he finally reaches that position of mind and that attitude of soul where he concludes that he has no right not to believe in God. It's along the lines of yet another great passage from an earlier paper, I believe it's in Paper 5, on God's relationship to the individual, where we might at first start to conceptualize the idea of believing God resides in the universe at large as a force. And then upon further evaluation comes the postulate that this force being around us is actually inside of us. Only upon future discovery do we find ourselves coming face to face with the recognition of the truth that we are actually in Him. And that's where I think I'm going to leave it this time on the Ranch Radio Podcast. I appreciate you stopping by for this quick insight that we can glean from Paper 101. Until next time, always, you can reach out to me at yourranchabookradio@gmail.com. Until next time.